This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
To declare your independence on the Free Talk Live.
Oh, just kidding. It's not declare your independence on the Free Talk Live family of shows.
That although, was just playing?
So we're making do with what we have here. And so in order to have commercials, when it's time to come out of the commercial, I'm just muting the audio that's playing elsewhere and overriding that here. So we're going to hear some weird things. Our apologies, of course.
It's a live Monday show.
It is a live Monday show. I am sort of discombobulated. As you can imagine, at the news of Mr. Freeman being sentenced to 8 frickin' years.
Yep.
I'm obviously, just thinking about Ian because I keep accidentally typing his name when I mean someone else. Like I said, it's going to be me, Captain, and Ian on the show tonight. And some of the hosts were like, wait, Ian's out? And that was an accident. And then I sent the paperwork that you can fill out to visit Aria. And I sent that in a keen chat room, and I said, this is the paperwork to visit Ian. I meant to say Aria.
So I'm going to ask some questions as they've come in to me, and probably the most asked question I've gotten today is not how is Ian, or how are you, Mark, but how are you, Bonnie? That's what everybody's asking.
That's true. And in fact, I think, Mark, you and I also share that sentiment, right? You're like, okay, what's it, Bonnie,
yeah,
you going to be okay,
Penguin was saying too.
Yeah.
It's just I don't know. I'd never been in this situation before, and
right.
I have my sister here with me, so that's really good because that would suck so much worse if she wasn't here. Like we went on a walk with Coconut earlier.
Should have family around.
Yeah, it'd be a lot worse if I was just let me go walk Coconut all alone. I even just saw Ian's Contigo. If you don't know what that is, it's a thermos
cup.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That he drinks
cup.
Every single day. Just refills every single day.
I have one of those, too. Although mine's a Duraflask.
You spoke, you were the first to speak for Ian at the sentencing today. Can you give people some general notion of what you said and how you think that fell on the court?
So I'm going to post the entire thing. I guess I'll post it on my Twitter. I'm also giving it to Chris Wade to post on freekeen.com. And my Twitter is FTL_Bonnie. I started off talking about how I met Ian, that I've known him since October 2020, that I was a listener of his show before then, that I wanted to meet him, but I didn't expect that we would actually fall in love, what a good influence he has been on me, how he influences people without ever... He influences people without telling him what to do, just by living his life the way he lives his life. He's such a good influence.
He has such an interesting approach, too, because most people, when they're in charge of something, right? In this case, a radio show, a blog, whatever it is, if somebody shows an interest in it, he will help them, on their way, right, to become whatever it is they become, but he won't ever actually tell them what to do.
Yeah, that's just side note. The judge kept saying things to Ian whenever you give your allocation,
something like that.
Yeah.
Whenever you give your speech that he gives to the judge, make sure that it's not overly performance art. Make sure that you're not saying it to set off your supporters. And I just wanted to scream.
Yeah.
We all are here on our own volition. Ian has never asked us to do a thing.
Right.
Ian has never asked anyone to start a protest. People do that on their own volition. Ian doesn't give out the signal and we act.
Yeah.
It's silly.
Well, the thing that I thought of is that at the very least, the judge is telegraphing what he wants to hear. That he is, hey, this is how you should do this, which is, if he really wanted to F him and his expectation is Ian is this evil guy, which I'm not sure that the judge doesn't still think that, right? If he's just waiting for Ian to say something stupid, then he could really hit him with a hammer.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't know. This is all very strange to me.
Yeah, it's just a weird situation because you don't know the language they're speaking. Sorry, I didn't know what you meant.
Hold on. I've got a couple of more questions I'd like to get through before we start taking calls.
Okay.
So, another question is, what about the time that Ian spent in county jail? There were 69 days in the past that Ian did in jail.
Yeah, when they raided the studio and took him away, 69 days later, they let him out.
Yeah, will he get credit for those 69 days?
My understanding is yes, Bonnie.
He gets credit for the 69 days, is what the judge said today, but not the 2 years of home confinement, ankle monitor, not being able to leave, not being able to do things.
So no credit at all for obeying.
Being punished without being convicted of anything?
Right.
No. Or even the post-conviction that was just extra punishment, I guess. And they keep, you know, it's really, that really does show why it sucks that they pushed the sentencing back so much, because this has just been almost a year of him being punished, but it not being any credit for anything.
Right.
Yeah. And I would think it's also worth pointing out that he was sentenced to 2 years probation today.
In addition to the 8 years.
After,
right.
Yeah,
so how, if time served counts and time on probation doesn't count for jail time, fine. But shouldn't 2 years on home confinement count for the probationary portion of the sentence?
Yeah, what does it mean that there's this woman that can just walk into my house whenever she wants, walk into the room I'm alone in whenever she wants, and Ian's not allowed to do certain things with his own body, and he's not allowed to go places without permission? The judge most recently changed it to where he had to be home by 7 p.m. Not even, I mean, most things aren't even closed by 7 p.m.
Right.
I'm grateful that Ian doesn't have to be in jail, but I do wonder about many of the specifics here.
What do you mean doesn't have to be? He's in jail.
For a long period of time, Ian was able to mount a defense,
yep,
which to me is, it's inhuman. It's part of the fixed, rigged system that we have, which is, well, let's lock people up so they can't defend themselves. Let's lock them up so they do weird calculus when they try to decide whether they want to stay in jail or all kinds of things.
Okay.
Somebody should be in jail, yep, in my opinion, solely because they're a danger to the public.
And that's what Sissy said today, and I was really kind of surprised by that, which is Ian's lawyer, Mark Sissy. He said, what I learned, Judge, is that people should only be in jail if they're a danger to the public.
Or themselves.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why we put people in cages. That's what Sissy said.
Yeah, cages specifically. So, I guess the answer is that he's going to get time served for the little bit of time that he did previously, which, 2 months on 8 years, hard to get too excited about, but there you go.
Man, murder sentences are less than this, right? 8 years, because, the court didn't even argue that Ian's KYC procedures, right? That's Know Your Customer, for those of you who don't know what that means.
In Bitcoin lingo.
Yeah, in bank lingo, right? It's KYC, Know Your Customer. You got to follow all these government rules. When you sign up for a cryptocurrency account online at, one of the major exchanges, I'm not going to name them, I don't want to give them any free advertising, you literally, as was pointed out in court today, and I think Ian even pointed it out, you throw in a name and a social security number and an address, maybe, depending on the services that you want to get out of the exchange, you might have to upload a copy of a selfie with you holding up your driver's license, right? That's it. Maximum. That's the max you got to do to get an exchange account at one of these crypto exchanges, right? You go online, find an exchange, sign up for an account. That's what you have to do. Ian did far more than that.
Yeah.
Right? Up to and including getting them to hold up or otherwise, position themselves in a selfie with basically an affidavit of consent.
I am so-and-so,
yeah,
and I really
Bob
want
Smith
to buy Bitcoin from Ian.
Am buying Bitcoin from, whatever, right? For this purpose, whatever it is, right? I consent to this transaction. Now, to me, that should be enough to stop any more legal action.
But they used it as evidence because some of the people holding it up, often people were holding up, were old. Yeah. Now, first off, this was the Bitcoin boom of 2017.
Right.
And
yeah.
People were investing. Who has money to invest? Older people often have money to invest.
And this is another thing I kept trying to whisper to my sister because I was just so annoyed. I kept having things to say while I was sitting there. And I was saying to my sister, I pointed out a woman sitting in front of us. Maybe I shouldn't say her name. I don't know. But she's a friend of ours. She was 75 years old when she testified last year. She may be 76
right.
Now. She came to the crypto meetups in Keene asking for help with her cryptocurrency wallets. She had bought cryptocurrency online,
yep.
Multiple different ways, not just exchanges. She asked him for help. She got personal service from me, and never did he send it to his own personal Bitcoin address, and she wouldn't know what he was doing. And I said, oops, it looks like the site's broken. I can't help. You know, he didn't steal her Bitcoin.
Right.
He didn't ever charge her for any of the hours he had, and I've been around sometimes when he
yep.
was, like, troubleshooting with her.
Yep.
Because, like, she's 75 years old. She's really cool. She always wants, like, the most privacy or crypto. So she has a lot of troubles with, like, a lot of, like, obscure ones and stuff like that. So sometimes she needs a lot of help from, like, Chris and Ian. And anyways, she testified, I'm a 75-year-old woman. I was just investing in Bitcoin, and Ian helped me, and he knew all this stuff about me. That should completely destroy their entire case. That if there's even one woman willing to go up there and say that, you can't say that Ian should every
right.
single time assume that if somebody's old that they can't possibly be actually wanting to buy Bitcoin.
If he's a dangerous predator on the streets to little old ladies with money, then he should have been a dangerous predator on the streets to every little old lady with money.
Yeah.
And this little old lady came in, asked for help, and Ian gave it to her. As a matter of fact, to my knowledge, and Ian made this clear in his allocation, that he asked a series of questions. Those questions were in evidence, and that, you know, nobody seems to care.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody seems to care that every bank out there, like, not a single one of these tellers is up on trial.
Right.
Yeah.
Not a single one of and that's important because all these people that sent money had to send it through their bank first.
Right.
Why isn't their bank, duly licensed by the United States government, being held responsible? It's because they don't care about the bank. They don't care about the teller. And it was mentioned briefly that there's this vendetta. There's this vendetta between a field agent, the Federal Bureau of Investigations, that this field agent has with Ian.
I didn't hear it mentioned today.
It wasn't specifically mentioned, but it was
he
a brief.
Bill Christiana.
Yeah, it was just a sort of a brush over, that kind of thing. The judge knows about this.
Yeah, he has to.
And everybody in the prosecution knows about it. And it's the unsaid part of all of this.
Yeah.
The unsaid part of all of this is the vendetta of one man against another.
Yep.
And millions of tax dollars are brought forth in order to nail a citizen to the cross of the state. I mean, like, yes, there are victims. These victims would have been victims of the next person in line at local Bitcoins.
Oh, no.
Not one of these victims came looking for Ian Freeman. Ian Freeman didn't go looking for any of these victims. They found him on local Bitcoins, a site that is full of people that sell Bitcoin.
Right.
Had he not been there, had it not been him, but randomly, it would have been somebody else. They would have been victimized. They would have gone to Coinbase. They would have gone through the process and sold their and bought the stuff maybe at a lower price.
Right.
So what? They would have still sent all their money. It's just 100%, not 90%, would have gone to Africa.
Well, the judge really displayed his idiocy today because he doesn't know anything about Bitcoin. He is
the ignorance.
Completely doesn't know anything about Bitcoin. And he said whenever somebody, I don't remember who it was, maybe Mark Sissy, said that if Ian wasn't the one that facilitated these old people sending their money away, well, they would have just got scammed by someone else. And the judge said, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Because, well, Ian didn't just send their money away. Ian sent their money away and made it impossible to trace because it was Bitcoin. The whole case, they were saying that Bitcoin is semi-anonymous.
Right, yeah.
It's more traceable than if you give someone cash. And Mark Sissy had to say, no, actually, cash is king, and cash could be done just as easily. And this, 2 weeks ago, a friend of ours was getting scammed. Ian stopped her from getting scammed because he saw the signs, and it was via Venmo. She sent money to somebody who was scamming her on Venmo. And the next day, when after she was alerted by Ian that this was possibly a scam, she found out it was a scam. Well, she called her bank. She called Venmo. They said there's nothing you could do to get your money back on Venmo.
Wow.
They can't reverse her thing on Venmo.
Wow.
And if you don't know, that's a app on phones people use to send money back and forth. And they use banks.
It's a PayPal.
Basically,
sponsored app. That's their company. Or it's the same company.
So
that
the judge
runs PayPal.
Just stupid. He said he made it more difficult to trace and recover. Maybe recover, because if you send Bitcoin away, you can't recover it. Maybe more difficult to recover than something like a bank transfer, but not Venmo, obviously.
Yeah.
Not a gift card that got spent, not cash.
To paraphrase, it felt to me like today there was a moment when the prosecution went, well, we can't go after the actual scammer, so we have to go after Ian Freeman.
Right. This is very much like...
I'm sorry, aren't you the Federal Bureau of Investigation?
She was like, Mr. Freeman knows that it's extremely hard to catch the actual scammers, as if that's just an excuse. Like,
your job is hard.
Yeah.
You should get a job you're good at.
Even if it's hard, even if it's impossible and you can never catch a scammer, that doesn't mean, just ruin someone else's life because, you couldn't catch the person who's actually scamming, so let's just make something up and make ourselves look good.
Yeah.
So they can write up some paperwork that makes it look like they got some dangerous criminal off the streets.
Yeah, I really feel like none of these charges should have been brought against Ian, that there wasn't evidence for them, period. That this was very much like just, we've had these people that keep doing these shootings, but we can't catch the people, so we'll go to the gun store and we'll get the guy
Who sold the bullets.
That's exactly
sold the bullets.
Like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a similar analogy with the bully on the...
the playground.
The playground
that he
used today. And, the fact is that if Ian hadn't have sold these Bitcoin to these people, somebody else would have.
Yes.
And if they hadn't have bought Bitcoin, they would have bought something else. And maybe they wouldn't have been ripped off to the level, but you got to remember, there was one of these guys that had got ripped off to the level of $900,000 before he met Ian.
Right.
Yeah, and
it was brought up today. Ian brought it up. The FBI did nothing to investigate this.
Yeah.
They asked the guy nothing to investigate this.
Yep.
Now, I can understand why these people attended the trial and testified against Ian, because they were probably told, hey, we might be able to get you a little money. You know, and Ian appeared to have volunteered for that today. And I can understand why he would choose to do that.
Sure.
But it's really sort of sickening, because it would have been nice if one of these people would have set up and said, yeah, Ian asked me a series of questions. I told him a lie because I was under the spell of my scammer, or I was scared for my life, or whatever the situation was, rather than just coming out and either forgetting or just bald-faced lying.
Why?
One of the two. I don't know.
You don't forget. You don't go have a whole conversation. Somebody calls you out of the blue, and he's like, hey, I'm this guy from the internet that you're trying to buy Bitcoin from. Let's talk for, 20 minutes or 30 minutes, and I'm going to investigate you, and then you just, if you forget the whole conversation, that's more understandable than being like, he called, he just said, are you blank name? And I said yes, and then he hung up. He made something up. He lied. The one specific guy, I don't remember his name.
I know that in these court proceedings, oftentimes, particularly for the prosecution, these witnesses get coached.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
And that was
coached.
Pretty obvious to me that they were coached, again, trotting out the little old ladies, and their statements of ire, right? The last one they trotted out at the first portion of the sentencing hearing, where she was like, I hope Ian Freeman gets the maximum sentence,
She kept saying, I hope Ian Freeman suffers.
Yeah.
And he has no soul.
But you could tell that she, based on the language that she used, the pattern of speech, and the words that came out of her mouth, she was under the impression that Ian is the romance scammer.
Yeah, she's lied to you, possibly.
Right. Like that's the connection that the prosecution has been trying to make through this whole case. They successfully did it to the jury by trotting out the little old ladies, right? And then with their, the arts and crafts, they made a diorama, a big poster board, that they paid somebody. somebody, some, you know, some clerk to, like, you know, super glue some pictures and some, you know, stuff to a big piece of card.
Like, this one connect to this one,
Right. And they just kept trotting this out. And I believe they succeeded in convincing the jury that Ian Freeman was the romance scammer. There's no evidence of that at all. And, in fact, there's all evidence to the contrary that Ian Freeman was definitely not the romance scammer, simply because he actually has caught more scammers and got more people's money refunded than the FBI, the entire FBI.
Yeah. Well, at least the FBI that was has been present to this trial. At this point, we know we don't know how many scammers the FBI has caught in total, but we do know that the FBI agents on site have never caught a scammer.
And one woman was specifically asked.
Yeah, they haven't even tried. They haven't even put foot one into the investigation of Jerry Harmon or whatever this guy's name is. This is a pseudonym. Alleged name. So who is Jerry Harmon? FBI, answer us that question.
During the trial, there was a woman, Catherine Thibault, who was an FBI agent in, I guess, Boston or either that or Manchester. Oh, but wait, Bedford, New Hampshire. For 15 years, and her job the whole time was to catch scammers. And Mark Sisti asked her during trial, how many scammers have you ever caught? She said zero. 15 years.
15 years, zero.
Now, I'm not going to say that's necessarily, I mean, there has to be some U.S. scammers at some point, right? The thing is that catching Ian was easy. He puts his address on the internet.
Yeah.
He advertises what he did.
That's why I say
he's not ashamed.
That's why I say
low-hanging fruit.
Low-hanging fruit, And that's the wrong terminology from my perspective. But from their perspective, they're like, oh, look at this ripe red apple. Right? Mm-hmm. We can just pluck it off the tree and send it to jail, and then we can all put another check mark on our frickin' resumes so that we can get, you know, what's the word, promoted within the government. And,
yeah, there's
you
a scammer catcher in this now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, one of the prosecutions, there's a rumor that she works for I don't remember what branch of the government it is now, but she's like a higher-level lawyer now, and she goes by the Bitcoin queen, crypto queen.
Is that the lady?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know who it is.
Georgiana McDonald.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you did a terrible job. You bumbled your way through, and then you convinced some people to not like Ian. Good job. Like, that doesn't make you crypto queen.
Yeah, not at all.
Well, to me, it's a huge indictment against the jury system, that the idea that, well, you know, I mean, what is a jury? A jury is 12 ignoramuses about the law.
Yeah.
If I'm going to be judged by the law, and I may not agree with the law, I'd rather have three experts. And I think that this is a real failing of the U.S. Court system, is the whole jury thing. Because all they did was they got, oh, I feel so bad for the little old ladies. Judges probably wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
It seems to me.
Yeah. I just want to say something, too, about Seth Aframe. That guy's just, I really don't like.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. The White House is urging Congress to increase aid to Ukraine in its conflict with Russia.
To see the continuation of the brave people in Ukraine to fight for their freedom, right? To fight for their democracy.
Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said that there's still robust bipartisan backing for supporting Ukraine, a key focus for the Biden administration. The 18-day United Auto Workers strike continues. General Motors recently laid off about 160 workers indefinitely. UAW President Sean Fain expanded the strike, accusing Ford and GM of a lack of progress in negotiations. This holiday season, Mariah Carey's hitting the road for her Merry Christmas One and All tour. Starting November 15th, the tour will visit 13 cities. Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You holds the record as the best-selling holiday song by a female artist. Dave Collins, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's the Ernest Hancock Show.
Oh, no, it's not the Ernest Hancock Show. It's a surprise edition of Free Talk Live, despite the audio bumper alerting you to Ernie's show. We will, of course, post Ernie's show to the normal places. If you're a Free Talk Live amplifier, you'll be able to get that at the Patreon page. If you are not, you'll be able to listen to Ernie's full broadcast on the SoundCloud page. If you're not subscribed to any of the other feeds,
you know what? I don't think we've introduced ourselves this whole show.
We haven't, and also I haven't done any live reads yet either, so let's take care of that. It is Free Talk Live, a special Monday night edition. The telephone number in the studio is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. We've got some calls on hold. We'll get to those in just a moment. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass. Joining me,
it's Bonnie.
And Mark.
Before we go on, this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. In addition to being one of the world's first cryptocurrencies, Dash was the first crypto project to have a decentralized, autonomous organization that to this day continues to improve and promote Dash. Every month, 10% of the mining rewards go into a treasury. Anyone with Dash to spend can put forward a proposal to the Dash masternodes. The masternodes then vet the proposals and decide which ones move forward and then are funded by this treasury. Nowadays, DAOs are plentiful, but Dash paved the way by doing it first nearly a decade ago. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies. It's widely available on exchanges, including the Maya protocol, and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and easy to use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org, and thank you to the Dash DAO for sending Free Talk Live 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn more about Dash. That's Dash.org. All right, let's get to some phone calls, shall we? I forget your name. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, Captain Kickass. This is Mark Watson.
Mark,
how are you?
Gosh. I get confused because if there's more than one Mark in my ear, which now there's two, like I get confused. So thank you, Mark, What's on your mind?
Hey, no problem. Well, first of all, you mentioned earlier, hey, is everybody getting the show? Radio 8424 has you live since you started for the switchover and everything.
Thank you so much.
So radio8424.com, you can Bluetooth in your car. We're excited about that, and we're proud to do it. And we've been actively involved in streaming LRN plus 3 years and counting, and proud to do it. And so before I get too deep into a long conversation, I just want to say, Bonnie, I'm how sorry I am that you got to go through all this. And for all of you guys there, this is a big deal. And this is a kind of a dark day for liberty when you think about Kaufman and the Free State Project. And you couldn't have asked for a larger atomic bomb to go off in the liberty community in New Hampshire.
Well,
and that's
Mark,
kind of how I feel.
Both Jeremy Kaufman and Carla Gricke, both board members of the Free State Project, were...
Jeremy's not anymore.
Yeah,
Jeremy. Well, the former yeah. board member and Carla were both present there. So there was a, you know...
some bad things representation. Kind of bring people yeah. together.
Well, and one thing about...
Well, they could all agree.
One thing about the Freedom Community at large, in my experience, and I've been here since 2019 now, is that... Yeah, libertarians and anarchists and voluntarists, whatever your title, abolitionists, whatever your title is that you want to carry around if you're in New Hampshire, you're going to bicker and you're going to like, oh, but I disagree with you on this one little slice of the philosophy, or, you know, I got an argument about this. And like, you know, this is kind of what happens, right?
It's
this
our
is,
love language.
It really is. It's libertarian. It kind
love
of is.
Love language.
And so, but what happens is it's kind of like everything else in humanity. When there's a crisis, particularly within the freedom community, you never see these people come together faster. You've never seen anyone come together faster than a crisis in the liberty community, and that's what I love about the liberty community.
Yeah, I think the liberty community is more logical than most communities, and therefore I can disagree with somebody about a particular point, but that doesn't mean I hate them.
Right.
So many places in life, I find that people feel obligated now in American society that if they disagree with me on the smallest of issues, hey, look, yeah. It's important to wear a mask, but you have to wear it over your nose, not under your nose, or whatever. Like, now I must hate you for the rest of your life. It's ridiculous.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for the kind words, Mark.
Absolutely. I just wanted to say, what can we do for you? What can we do for Free Talk Live? What can we do for LRN?
I mean, keep listening and
sharing.
A lot of people have been asking me this. I haven't responded. I'm sitting on a couple of emails and some, text messages, chat messages, stuff from individuals who have only asked this. Well, what happens to Free Talk Live now? And so the answer is we go on, right? We continue to go on. Mark, Ian, and I had conversations about worst case scenarios. Bonnie, we've had these conversations as well. And we got together, you know, at some point and said, well, we need to prepare for these kind of things. So to Ian's credit, he has put together apparently a bulletproof system, because I couldn't even override it properly today to do a live show. So he's put together such a solid system of putting on the Free Talk Live family of shows on Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. These are pre-recorded shows. Ernie's show, Liberty at Night, Mark, your show.
Yep. Reigns and Edge.
Reigns and Edge, thank you. So the live shows are going to continue to be Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. Bonnie and I will figure out, you know, who's going to first chair those between her and I, so that neither of us are doing, you know, the whole week or whatever. We're not overly taxed or whatever. So that's the current plan. We're just going to go that way. We've got plenty of co-hosts to fill those days at the moment. That might change. Some of you co-hosts out there might get a call. At least six people today have already said, if you guys need another host, let me know. So we're not going to have a problem finding willing people to sit in these chairs.
I think that if I were to ask for something from the listeners, I'd say go to freetalklive.com and make sure that you're downloading the podcast. Make sure you download the podcast on whatever device you have, more than one device. Make sure you're getting it.
Yeah.
That way, you're getting the show. You're going to be able to listen to the show. Listen to it with your, you know, families and family and friends, the ones that are interested. I understand. Look, you know, it's not like my ex-wife was terribly interested in listening to the show all the time.
Yeah, I pretty much failed at getting most of my family members to
I used to
listen.
Just leave it on in the background.
Yeah.
And on this was on the West Coast, so it was still, like, you know, a sane time to be around. Like, if I was planning on going to see a friend's concert that night, a local band or something, people would be like, hey, can we stop by your place pre-funk before we go to the throw? Sure. And they'd come over. I'd just have LRN on. Usually it's Free Talk Live or a repeat or whatever. And, like, none of these people were libertarian or even mildly political, right? And every now and again, they'd be, wait, what are they talking about? What is this about this? And, like, I would know because I'm listening all the time and be able to, like, impart some knowledge on them. So
the thing that I hate the most is whenever somebody hears, oh, they're talking political, and they just start saying stuff about Trump or, oh, did you know Dianne Feinstein died? It's just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's deeper than that.
So I agree with Mark Edge's assessment here. If folks want to do something to help, please listen to the show, download the podcast.
Something really weird happened to our downloads in the last month. I don't know what they are, but they were dramatically lower. And I cannot explain why that is.
A bunch of boomers died off?
It seems unlikely.
I don't think boomers are really downloading as much as listening on the radio, maybe.
Yeah,
well, we certainly get a lot of listeners, boomer listeners. But we get
I never thought about it as a listener. Whenever I was just a listener and I hadn't met you guys yet, I would just listen from the live radio feed on the website. I'm not even sure if that's a thing anymore, but yeah. I probably wasn't even adding to the downloads.
Yeah. So Mark, the other one, not Edge. I think in addition to, you know, making sure folks are downloading, I know you're doing your own thing with promoting Radio 8242. What is it?
Radio 8424.
8424.com. Thank you. And so that's great. To our other listeners, if you are not an amplifier, you can go over to amps.freetalklive.com and figure out how to help advertise, market, and promote the show. Advertise, market, promote, and support is what AMPS stands for. And I want to say thank you tonight to Ken Covey, who's a gold-level amplifier. That means he gives $10 a month because he enjoys the show. He enjoys the hosts, the co-hosts, the cast of characters, the callers, and the perspective of liberty, peace, and prosperity that we bring. So I want to say thank you to Ken Covey. So folks can become an amplifier of the show. That's how you can help. But tell people, right? Advertise. Put it on your social media. Be like, hey, I'm into this show. Here's a podcast I'm listening to. Here's a show I'm enjoying. That kind of a thing. Like, word of mouth is
Absolutely.
Still the greatest form of advertising.
Also, just calling in.
Absolutely.
One of the reasons that we added these pre-recorded shows is because Ian, particularly, was really tired of just having, it's not anything against the regular callers, it sounds kind of mean, but Ian just got tired of only hearing from the regular callers. It's just, there's so many people will bring up, oh, I've been listening to your show, and I just wonder why they've never called. I mean, a lot of people maybe listen not the next day or something, but if you're ever thinking about it, if you have nothing to do, 8 to 7 p.m. Eastern time, and you have something you want to bring up, just call in and talk about it. Like, I don't think that, it doesn't have to be something so controversial that you're afraid we're going to yell at you, and I don't think we really do that. I only yell at Skeeter because he's annoying.
Right.
One call a week from 20 people would be an amazing thing.
Yeah. I love hearing from new people. It's always so much more fun of an episode when you're like, oh, it's a new caller. Even if the topic wasn't that interesting, it's just more interesting.
It sounded like you had more to say,
right.
Mark.
Well, it's a great show. I just wanted to say, if you guys want anything displayed on my channel during the day, just send me the details, and I'll be happy to feature it. So glad to do it.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. We appreciate you and the call. Let's move right along to, we've got Mr. Penguin calling from wherever you are. You're on Free Talk Live.
From Keene, New Hampshire.
All right.
Hey, yeah, so I had a couple of thoughts. First of all, let me just say, I think I know why the downloads are down. I think the website's not working right, man. I think it had to do with a technical changeover that I don't think actually was
I forgot. I heard
right. There was a new
background guy talking about this.
Yeah, there was a new thing. I don't know when that went live. It was recent though, probably within the last.
It was within the last 1 to 2 weeks, so that might explain why the downloads have been cut in half.
We should ask Ian, and he can explain it to you, Mark.
I don't know why the change was made.
I'll tell you why, Penguin. It's a long-term project, right? This new launch, this new look of the Free Talk Live website has been in progress for quite some time. And so, you know, some conversations between the people working on the website and Ian, you know, geared up to a point where they felt they were ready to make the change. And so the change was made, and so now it's there. And, you know, if there's, you know, if something used to work for you on the website doesn't work now, or if you're having troubles with it, I don't know who to point you to at this point, but where can we send these inquiries to? Do we have an email address that folks can send stuff to about the website?
I don't think we need to do this on air, but, you could email. You could probably email Free Talk Live, right? We have email addresses.
Ian@freetalklive.com.
Ian@freetalklive.com would be good if you have any of that. And, you know, Penguin, you know how to communicate with us offline. So if you see problems or bugs or whatever with that site, let us know what's not working.
Maybe there's a report a bug button on the site. I'm not sure.
If not, there should be.
I was at the site, and I, you know what? I don't think it's like it's almost like a blank website at the moment. So I don't think
It shows up on a PC in every browser that I've tried: Firefox, Chrome, and Brave. However, it does not work on Firefox on my mobile device. I have an Android, and when I pull up the site, I get a frame of the site, but no content.
It seems very, very broken to me, and I don't know. I don't know why, but
I think it's just initial growing pains.
I think it is growing pain. So I know you didn't want to call to talk about the website.
Yeah,
what's really on your mind?
Ian's trial, right, or sentencing hearing?
Yeah. Of course, definitely Ian's trial was. I think it's the most interesting that's happened lately, or today at least. I wanted to make some. I just wanted to make some comments. Ian got the IDs and passports of people. The FBI could have gone after these scammers. It wasn't lost. It didn't disappear into thin air. They know exactly where to go. If they want to actually pursue these scammers.
Yeah.
It didn't. You know, they said it was like anonymized or whatever. No, it wasn't, because he got the IDs of the scammers. He got the passports of the scammers. They know who to go after. They just won't.
They showed a picture of one. In fact, they showed a picture of a shirtless African man and said, "Does this look like a CEO to you? The most racist thing I've ever seen in my life."
Oh, if we had video of that particular incident,
they'd be over.
It would. New York would. New Hampshire would be shut down.
Yeah.
I'm a CEO, and I can tell you, I've never worn a suit. Well, that's not entirely true, but I've almost never worn a suit. Right? Like CEOs, we wear T-shirts sometimes.
All CEOs have a chest. Right? This guy had a chest.
And it's not like it was supposed to be him in his office. It was supposed to be him off hours or something like that, just buying Bitcoin. So it wasn't.
Yeah.
Okay, it sounds a little weird if we're saying he's shirtless in his office or something like that. But even then, Ian walks around shirtless in his office. Not that he's a CEO, I guess, but he's, the head of
the
this
equivalent.
Thing.
No, okay. He's a minister of a church, but I mean, he would be equivalent of a CEO, probably if it was a corporation or something like that.
Yeah.
There's something else here too. So most of these victims, they sent money to other sellers to buy Bitcoin. The whole "but for" comment about how if it wasn't for Ian, these people wouldn't have been, the scammers wouldn't have been successful.
That's
garbage.
It's but for it's a legal term. It means this wouldn't have happened without Ian's conduct. That's what Chris is referring to.
Right,
listeners.
Right. That's absurd. Obviously, the sellers it did occur without Ian, because they bought Bitcoin. Most of these victims bought Bitcoin from other sellers as well.
Right.
The church was just one small piece of it. They bought all these people bought some Bitcoin from the church and Ian, but not most of what they bought was from Ian or the church. So it's the whole "but for" just doesn't make any sense.
I agree with you completely on that. And like, the evidence is simply this. You could have gone to localbitcoins.com and sorted by reputation, right? Of course, Ian was at the top of that because he conducted good business.
He was honest.
If he wasn't there at the top, though, somebody else would have been, and that's where they would have gone.
Yep.
But that's the thing. They did go to other people, too. It wasn't just Ian.
Yeah, it was also gift cards, cash, or wires, online things like Venmo.
Maybe you can make a stronger argument if not for localbitcoin.com or something like that. But even there, it doesn't make sense because there's lots of other platforms out there too.
Yeah.
It's just so absurd. And the other thing that gets me is that, you know, Ian, the church was doing KYC, know your customer. He was getting the IDs where other sellers weren't. So, you know, this whole idea that like it anonymized the scammers is total nonsense.
Or just that, that Ian was making it easiest for the scammers. Like the next seller would have made it harder for the scammers. No, the scammers complained on his ratings that he made it too hard for them to scam.
Right.
Sellers got angry repeatedly at Ian, and I bet they probably didn't go back to Ian. Maybe they did only because they'd already jumped through the hoops at that point, but, you know, the whole thing is just so ridiculous.
And it speaks volumes about what the FBI cares about. They should change their acronym to the Federal Banking Institution. Because they don't care about you. They don't care about these little old ladies. They don't care about them getting scammed again. Some of these ladies, they even admitted during one of the, I think it was Aria's hearing, that at least one or more of these scam victims, these little old ladies, was still in contact with the scammer.
Ian's trial on the stand.
Yeah, it was at the trial.
This lady said that she had been
Carla
in contact.
Cino.
Carla Cino had been in contact with her scammer as little as a week before.
Right.
But now I won't talk to him anymore.
No, but what she was saying was, and I asked the FBI, like, if they want to ask me about him, and I keep talking to him, stringing him along, so that way I can give the FBI information, but they don't want to hear it. They don't want to talk to him.
She wants the scammer caught. The FBI does not.
Yeah. And she...
Every one of these scammers, every one of these victims that were on the stand, I do believe, was asked about, you know, I lost my train of thought.
Everyone on the stand, or every one of the scammers was asked something?
No, every one
victims.
Of the victims.
Victims, sorry.
They were asked a question about whether or not the FBI was going to go after their scammers, or whether they were interested in their scammers, like going after them and asking questions about them. And every one of them, I believe, said no.
Right.
So the FBI was absolutely not interested in catching the scammers. They were only interested in Ian Freeman, according to the victims, to the government's own victims that testified on the stand.
Yeah, and then the prosecution kept going, well, Ian's a smart and sophisticated type of person who designed this system to be, it's like,
oh, yeah.
No, you can't say that he is smart and sophisticated and a criminal when he has gone out of his way to do KYC on his customers. He's gone out of his way to actually catch other scammers. He's gone out of his way to work with other law enforcement departments when somebody alerted him to a scam to recover people's money. That's not somebody who's a criminal.
Another annoying thing that the judge did today was he said that he wouldn't classify Ian as purposely doing something, not that he wouldn't classify him as purposely doing something wrong, but basically he said that he believes Ian followed the law purposely because he didn't want to get caught doing something wrong. So he's complying
with the law.
Yeah, I'm not even joking. Like, I can't remember exactly how he said it, but did you guys catch that towards the end?
Yeah, it was hypocritical of him.
He was saying, it's worse than that. He's saying, Ian, he followed the law closely so that way he wouldn't get caught in what he was doing. He's trying to say Ian's so smart, he was doing a workaround in a way, and that's why even though he can't find an actual thing he literally did wrong.
If he was nefariously ripping people off, there would be no record of anything.
I wish that these things were recorded so I could just remember exactly what he said.
Well, I wish that they would allow a camera, 200-year-old technology, into a courtroom. Practically 200 years.
Sorry, Chris.
Can we talk talk about that? Because that's a very important point. The Ian actually used a weak password in dictionary cracking wise, that they cracked it in 2 weeks. It was 2 weeks is what they quoted. 2 weeks. Okay. This is not he did not set a password on that system to keep out the government. Okay. He's not a stupid man. That's one thing I think we can all agree on. If he was trying to keep the government out, there wouldn't have been evidence on that computer.
Right.
This guy was running Linux on his system. He could have installed there's a program that basically makes your hard disk read only.
Yeah.
That means nothing is preserved forensics wise.
So why did why did he encrypt it and then make a easy password?
Because this is Ian, man. He wanted to take this to court.
He did.
That evidence on that computer proved his innocence. It didn't prove his guilt. They just twisted it around because they lied with every other word out of their mouth, the prosecution. They twisted it around.
Yeah, and I don't know how closely you paid attention to all of the evidence presented because, you know, these trials can get boring from time to time.
Yeah.
They're all a bunch of bureaucratic procedure. But it seems to me, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, every piece of evidence the FBI presented, they got from Ian.
I think so.
Yeah. So they did no work.
Very little.
They did no real work at all.
They just looked at what Ian did and said, how can we make this look bad and convince a jury full of bumbling idiots that Ian did something bad?
The FBI didn't do any work. The prosecutors did. Once he handed it over and said, hey, we got a scammer for you. You can finally look like you got a scammer. Here you go.
There's something else too. So there's other aspects of this. So Ian, they kept saying the word encrypted telegram. Well, first of all, the encrypted telegram, as if that's somehow making it more secret or something, but that's actually not the case. The telegram encryption is the same encryption that's used on the website for local Bitcoin. There are secret chats which are end-to-end encrypted, but Ian didn't use them. And Ian also didn't delete the chats with the customers, which is something you can do on Telegram. That actually proves he wasn't trying to hide anything.
They kept trying to make it sound like it's illegal for privacy in general, but also, talking on Telegram. That's just evidence of a crime, apparently.
And the other thing is, they were kind of I forget who it was that was laughing almost, but, they were talking about how, he clearly didn't care about privacy because he kept this stuff, right?
Hey, Chris, we got to go to a break. I'm just going to say thanks for the call, man. We'll talk to you again. Appreciate you. It is Free Talk Live.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is going to happen soon. With all the distractions in the media, we probably won't see it coming. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Those in charge say everything's fine. Stop noticing. But you know better. American families are preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Order by 3 p.m., and your items ship the same day. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.